In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Christos Anesti, Aletheos Anesti. Christ is risen, Alleluia. He is risen indeed, Alleluia. Resurrection blessings to you on this Sunday of Easter. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice. Alleluia. This Sunday of Easter celebrates an entirely new possibility for human living, the hope of a transformation to live the divinity of Jesus Christ. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the risen Jesus breathes on his church, may each of us graciously respond to his invitation to live more deeply his passion, death, and glorious resurrection and ascension, and be drawn into loving communion with God our Father. You are listening to Encountering Jesus with the Church Fathers, a podcast pondering patristic commentary and insight on the sacred scriptures, the sacred liturgy, and living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am your host, Father Mark, and I welcome you to this podcast on this most holy and glorious day, Easter, the fifth Sunday. Guiding us today in opening the Word of God is St. Augustine of Hippo, one of the great Western fathers of the Church. Known as the Doctor of Grace, St. Augustine has left us powerfully insightful works, such as On the Trinity and the Confessions, to name only two. He also penned and delivered hundreds of sermons, as well as tractates. The word tractate comes from a Latin verb that means to handle or to draw out. And as employed in Christian theology, a tractate is a kind of sermon that investigates a section of Scripture and is coupled with theological reflection and spiritual commentary. Tractates were normally delivered in a liturgical setting, and for St. Augustine, were intended to teach, to delight, and to motivate his congregation to greater ardor in living the life of Jesus. St. Augustine composed over 120 tractates just on the Gospel according to St. John, and this Sunday we listen to an excerpt from his Tractate 80. In this tractate, St. Augustine ponders John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, which are proclaimed at Mass this Sunday of Easter. This passage of the Gospels, brothers and sisters, where the Lord calls himself the vine and his disciples the branches, makes the statement in accordance with the fact that he is head of the church, and we his members, he the mediator of God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. For indeed, the vine and the branches are of one nature, and for this reason, since he was God, of which nature we are not, he became man in order that in him human nature might be the vine of which we too, since we are men, could be the branches. What then does "I am the true vine" mean? Surely, even though he added "true," he did not refer this to that vine from which this metaphor has been applied. For he is called the vine through metaphor, not through proper designation, in the same way as he is called a sheep, a lamb, a lion, a rock, a cornerstone, and other things of this sort, which are rather themselves true things from which are drawn these metaphors, not proper designations. But when he says, "I am the true vine," he especially distinguishes himself from that vine to which it is said, "How have you turned into bitterness, O strange vine? For in what way is that a true vine, which was expected to produce the grape, but which produced thorns?" "I am," he says, "the true vine, and my Father is the cultivator. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he will take away, and every one that bears fruit, he will trim clean, that it may bring forth even more fruit." Surely the cultivator and the vine are not one thing. Therefore, Christ is the vine in that regard in which he said, "The Father is greater than I." But in the regard in which he said, "I and the Father, we are one thing," he himself, too, is the cultivator. And he is not such as are they who exercise their ministry by working from without. But he is such that he also gives growth from within. For neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the growth. But certainly, Christ is God, for the Word was God, and because of this, he and the Father are one thing. And if the Word was made flesh, which he was not, he remains what he was. And then, when he had said about the Father, as about the cultivator, that he would take away the fruitless branches, but would trim clean the fruitful ones, that they may bear fruit, immediately also, showing himself the cleanser of the branches, he says, "Now you are clean, by reason of the word that I have spoken to you." Look, he too is the cleanser of the branches, a task that belongs to the cultivator, not the vine, he who also made the branches his workers. For although they do not give growth, still they afford some assistance, but not on their own. "For without me," he says, "you can do nothing." Here also, these themselves confessing. What then is Apollo? What then is Paul? The ministers through whom you have believed, and to every one as the Lord has given. I have planted, Apollo watered, and this, therefore, as the Lord has given to everyone, and not then on their own. Furthermore, what follows? But God gave the growth. This he does, not through those men, but through himself. This goes beyond the lowliness of mankind. It goes beyond the loftiness of angels. It belongs not at all, but to the cultivator, the Trinity. Now you are clean. Clean, of course, and yet in need of cleansing. For neither were they not clean, could they have borne fruit, and yet everyone who bears fruit, the cultivator, trims clean, that he may bring forth even more fruit. He bears fruit because he is clean, and that he may bring it forth even more. He is still more trimmed clean. For who in this life is so clean that he does not need to be more and more cleansed? For here, if we say what we do not have, sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. Let him indeed cleanse the clean, that is, the fruitful, that they may be as much more fruitful as they are cleaner. Now, you are clean by reason of the word that I have spoken to you. Why does he not say, you are clean by the reason of the baptism by which you were washed, but says, by reason of the word that I have spoken to you, except that in the water also the word cleansed? Take away the word, and what is the water except water? The word is added to the elemental substance, and it becomes a sacrament, also itself, as it were, a visible word. For indeed, he had also said this when for his disciples he washed their feet. The one who is washed need not but wash his feet, but is wholly clean. Whence is this power of water of such magnitude that it touches the body and yet washes clean the heart, except from the words effecting it? Not because it is said, but because it is believed. For also, in the word itself, the passing sound is one thing, the abiding power another. This is the word of faith that we preach, says the apostles. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart we believe to justice, but with the mouth profession of faith is made to salvation. And for this very reason, one reads in the Acts of the Apostles, cleansing their hearts by faith. And in this epistle, the blessed Peter says, so baptism saves you also, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the examination of good conscience. This is the word of faith which we preach, by which, no doubt, baptism also is consecrated, that it may be able to cleanse. For indeed, Christ the vine with us, the cultivator with the Father, loved the church and delivered himself up for it. Read the apostle and see what he adds, that he might sanctify it, he says, by cleansing it by the bath of water in the power of the word. The cleansing, therefore, would in no way at all be attributed to the flowing and streaming substance, unless it were added in the power of the word. This word of faith has so much power in the church of God that, through the very one who believes, offers, blesses, immerses, it cleanses even the tiny infant, not yet having the capacity with its heart to believe to justice, and with its mouth to make a profession of faith to salvation. All this is done through the word, of which the Lord says, now you are clean by reason of the word I have spoken to you. St. Augustine of Hippo, pray for us. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, constantly accomplish the paschal mystery within us, that those you were pleased to make new in holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit and come to the joys of life eternal. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.